Our scripture reading today is taken from two passages of the New Testament. The first from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, the first 13 verses, and the second from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, the verses 7 through 11. First then, Luke chapter 11, the verses 1 through 13. Let us hear the word of God. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Our second scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, the verses 7 through 11, and these words are also our text. There Jesus says, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his holy and infallible word. Dear friends, one of the greatest privileges we have as believers is the privilege of coming to God in prayer. Prayer is the channel by which we may bring to God all of our needs, our desires, our burdens, and our fears. And we may do so at any time, and at any place, and in any circumstance. But have you ever wondered if prayer does any good? Will God really hear and answer our prayers? Well, the Lord Jesus says, yes, he will. We come in our study of the Sermon on the Mount to some of the most well-known verses in the Bible, Matthew 7, the verses 7 through 11. In these verses, our Lord encourages us to pray, and he promises that if we persist, God will certainly hear us. He says, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, this is not the first time our Lord addressed the matter of prayer in this sermon. He did so earlier in Matthew chapter 6, the verses 5 through 15. In those verses, Jesus taught that when we pray, we should not be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Rather, when we pray, we should enter into our closet, he says, and when we have shut the door, we should pray to our Father who is in secret, knowing that our Father who sees in secret shall reward us openly. He also taught that we should not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for our Father knows what we need even before we ask him. Following this, he taught us the words of the Lord's Prayer. Well, now in the words of our text, our Lord provides even more instruction on this subject. He assures us that God will certainly hear and answer our prayers according to his will. My theme is ask, seek, knock. And we'll consider three thoughts. First of all, the persistence demanded. Secondly, the petition required. And thirdly, the promise made. Our Lord in our text urges his followers to do three things: ask, seek, and knock. Now, these three words are not synonymous. Jesus is not saying the same thing using three different words. There is a development here. We could say an intensification of thought. The word ask is a general word. I ask for the things that I need. The word seek is more specific and more intense. I seek for things that I need but cannot find. This word seek implies an earnest endeavor to obtain. The person who seeks expends great effort at trying to find the thing that he's looking for. And the word knock is even more specific and intense. When I want to get into a room that is locked, I will knock, and I will knock again and again and again. I will keep on knocking until someone opens the door. In fact, this idea is common to all three of these words. In the original Greek, all three words are in what we call the present imperative. The present tense is used to emphasize an ongoing action. In other words, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The point is, we are to do these things without giving up. We are to ask until we have received. We are to seek until we have found. We are to knock until the door has been opened. We are to be persistent. The King James Version calls this importunity. An importunate person is someone who keeps on asking for something, even to the point of being annoying. And Jesus gives an example of this in the parable of the importunate friend from Luke 11, the verses 1 through 10. We read there that Jesus was praying, and when he finished, his disciples asked him to teach them to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And in response to that request, our Lord taught them the words of the Lord's Prayer. And then, as if to encourage them to keep on praying, our Lord proceeded to tell this parable about a man who had a friend who came to him at midnight, but he had nothing to serve him. And so he went to his friend and he asked him to give him some bread. But the man was in bed together with his children, and he tried to send the man away, but the man would not take no for an answer, and he kept on asking until his neighbor gave him everything that he wanted. Now that's importunity. Importunity is asking for something with persistence, even to the point of being annoying. And it was because of this man's importunity, it was because of his annoying persistence, that his friend finally gave him what he wanted. Now, this is true also when it comes to prayer. God wants us to come to him with all of our needs. And what is more, he wants us to keep on doing so. He wants us to be importunate in prayer. Why? Well, not because, like the man in the parable, God is reluctant to give us what we ask for. He most certainly is not. God is more willing to give than we are even willing to ask or to receive. But he wants us to be importunate because when we are importunate, it shows that we really want what we are asking for. It's not just a passing fancy. And that's exactly what God wants to see. In fact, the more importunate we are, the more likely God will hear. Well, let me ask you, is this true of your prayers? Are you importunate in your prayers? It's not an easy thing. We can so easily become weary in prayer. We ask for the same thing again and again and again. And after a while, it appears as though God doesn't hear us or he doesn't answer us. And we can be tempted to give up praying. But our Lord in our text encourages us not to do so. He encourages us to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. Such prayers the Lord delights to hear. Such are the prayers that the Lord will answer. Do you believe that this morning? Our Lord urges persistence in prayer, but what are we to ask for? That brings us to our second point, the petition required. When we pray, we ask God to do or to give certain things, and that's true here as well. Jesus says we are to ask, seek, and knock on the door with a view to obtaining that which we do not already have, but what we need. Now, what is that? What is that for which we are to ask and seek and knock? Well, there are some who say that we can ask for anything, and they say God will give it if you have enough faith. The theory is that God wants his people to be happy and fulfilled. And therefore, whatever we want, whether that's more money, a bigger house, a nicer car, a fancy vacation, all we have to do is ask in faith and God will give it. And if we don't receive it, it's because we don't have enough faith. But my friends, that is utterly false. The truth is, God does not always give us what we want. Sometimes he says no. And that is not because God is mean and stingy. It is because not everything we ask for and not everything we want is necessarily good for us. Imagine a parent gave everything his or her child asked for. How would that child grow up? That child would grow up to be a selfish, spoiled brat. And so it is in spiritual life. My friend, if God gave us everything we asked for, it wouldn't be good for us. It would do us far more harm than good. So what then are we to ask for? What then should we seek for? Some have taken this verse and applied it to salvation. And they have said that anyone who asks the Lord to save them will be saved. And therefore, we need to keep on asking the Lord to save us, and we must not give up until he has done so. Now, there are, however, several problems with that view. The first is it doesn't square with the context. Our Lord here is addressing himself to believers, not to unbelievers. Believers, not unbelievers, are commanded not to judge and not to cast their pearls before the swine. And so it is here. Jesus is telling believers to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. Secondly, this view implies that God is almost reluctant to save anyone, or that salvation is virtually impossible. And that's why we have to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. But the truth is, God is not reluctant to save anyone. He will freely save anyone who calls upon him. Nor is salvation impossible. It is, in fact, quite the opposite. Salvation is possible for any sinner who in his need calls on the name of the Lord. So again I ask, what are we to ask for? What are we to seek for? Jesus tells us, doesn't he? In verse 11, we are to seek and ask and knock for good things. Now the word good implies things that are good in the sight of God, who is the source and the standard of all good. So what are these good things? Well, we can better answer this question when we keep in mind the context. Recall that by this time in his sermon, Jesus had given his followers a whole list of challenging demands. They had to rejoice when they were being persecuted. They were not allowed to harbor anger or lust. They could not utter unlawful oaths. They were not allowed to retaliate, but had to go the extra mile. They had to love their enemies. They had to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven. They had to trust in God for material things. They were not permitted to judge or to cast their pearls before the swine. And at one point, he even says, we are to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Now, needless to say, what Jesus presents to us here is a very tall order. It's not easy to live like this. In fact, by nature, it's impossible. We are so sinful, and our faith is so weak, left to ourselves, we will never live like this. We cannot. It's impossible, and yet we must. How can we do this? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in our text. We must ask. We must seek. We must knock. We must ask and seek and knock on the door for those gifts and graces that will enable us to live as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that can include any number of things. It can include wisdom and love and patience and charity and discernment, all of which are worked in the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. Ultimately, therefore, what Jesus is teaching us here is that we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's precisely what Jesus teaches in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 11. After assuring his disciples that God will indeed grant them what they ask, even more so than our earthly fathers would give us earthly things, Jesus says this, and I quote, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Jesus specifically makes reference here to the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, he is the one we should ask for more than anything else. For when we have the Holy Spirit, we have the key to living the Christian life. Well, my friend, what about you? Do you pray for the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life more than anything else? Oh, make no mistake, my friend, apart from the Holy Spirit, we will never be able to live the way Christ wants us to live. We'll just go our own way and do our own thing. What you and I need on a daily basis is the Holy Spirit to take up his abode in our hearts, to change us, to transform us, and to work within us all the gifts and graces that we need in order to do his will. And so let our constant prayer be, Lord, give me thy blessed Holy Spirit. Let him take control of my heart and my life, and thus enable me to live as one of thy disciples. And so Jesus teaches us to pray for the Holy Spirit. But will God also answer this prayer? That brings us to our third and final point, the promise made. My friend, God will never refuse to give good things to those who ask him. And Jesus says as much in our text. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And so Jesus here declares that those who ask shall receive. Those who seek shall find. To those who knock, the door shall be opened. In other words, God will certainly hear and answer our prayers. Why? On what ground will our prayers be answered? Well, the ground is certainly not to be found in us. There is no reason in us why God should answer our prayers. For we have sinned. And as a result of our sins, we have forfeited every right to everything. So on what ground then will God hear our prayers? Well, our Lord tells us, doesn't he? On the ground of his fatherly goodness and care. Listen again to our text. Jesus says, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" You see what our Lord is doing here? He's making an argument from the lesser to the greater. He imagines a son coming to his father and asking him for something to eat. And he asks, would his father give him a stone, which is inedible? Or worse, a serpent, which is not only unclean, but also potentially poisonous, not to mention unsatisfying? And the answer to the question is, of course he wouldn't. A father cares for his children. He would do everything in his power to provide for them in their need. What is more, Jesus says he will do so even though we are evil. Jesus here issues a strong and damning indictment of the human race. He says we are evil. It's not the case that we are part good and part evil, or mostly good and a little bit evil. It is certainly not the case that we are entirely good. Jesus says we are evil through and through, rotten to the core. And isn't that exactly what the scriptures teach? What does the psalmist say in Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And then he says this, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, verse 6, says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 3, verse 23, says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scriptures are clear, my friend, by nature, you and I and every single person on this planet is evil. Now, to be sure, we weren't always like that. There was a time before the fall when we were good, perfectly good. We had a perfect understanding and delight in the will of God and the ability to keep it. But when we fell into sin, we became evil. Now, to be sure, due to God's common grace, we are not as bad as we can be, at least not most of us. We can still, for example, love our children and provide for them in their need, as Jesus also says in our text. But at root, we are evil. Now, Jesus says, if that is what we are like, if we are truly evil, and yet we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who is pure goodness, who does not have a trace of evil in him, and who loves his people so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for their sins, how much more will he not give good things to them that ask him? More than we can ever imagine. Therefore, we need not be concerned, dear friends. Whatever good gifts we ask of our Father, he will most certainly give. Such is the very nature and the character of God. For God not to give us good things that are in accordance with his will would be a denial of who he is. Oh, do you believe that today? Maybe someone says, I can recall many times in my life when I asked for something, but I didn't get it. That may be so. But let me ask you, did you ask for the right thing? Many times we ask for things that we don't need or that are not good for us, even though we think they are. In such cases, we should be thankful that God did not give them to us. If he did, we might live to regret it. In James 4, verse 3, James says, "Ye ask and receive not." Why? "Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." But, and this is the point, God will never refuse to give us good things, the things that we need in order to live to his glory. Oh, he may not give all of these things right away. He may also not give them in the same measure, but he will give them. This is the promise of his word. Therefore, child of God, do not be discouraged. The Lord in this sermon has given us a tall order. He commands us to do many things that, left to ourselves, we could never do. We mentioned some of them earlier. But let us never throw up our hands in despair and bemoan the fact that there's no way we can ever do this. Rather, let it cause us to go to him in prayer and to ask for, to seek, and to knock on the door for more grace. Grace to live the way God wants us to live and to be the kind of people God wants us to be. Such a prayer God will always hear and answer in his own time and way, the more so because such prayers are mediated by his beloved Son. And since the Father loves the Son, whatever the Son asks the Father, he will do. And therefore I say to you again, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen.